With us in the studio to discuss these and other issues, as he is almost every Tuesday following a regular council meeting, is Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Thanks for stopping by, Mayor.
Thank you so much, Will. It's great to be here.
Do you have a question about City of Bloomington government? What do you think of the Budget Task Force report? Call 309-438-8910 and speak with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Before we get to the budgeting matters, let's look at what happened at last night's meeting. The council overwhelmingly approved spending $129,000 on water infrastructure improvements at Lake Bloomington. Water Department Director Bob Yale mentioned to our reporter Michael Hill after the meeting that there are other areas in heavily wooded parts of Lake Bloomington that will eventually need some attention. What's the timeline and the cost for this work?
Well, that's some of what we're still working on. The council has to make a determination of that. It's what we can afford. We may very well need to examine some of the rent, in a sense, the ground rent that people pay who own homes on Lake Bloomington, and so we can recoup some of the costs to taxpayers in our city.
The council unanimously approved reinstating the Cedar Ridge development southeast of what you might call or on the edge of the natural city limits of town. This project goes back 9 years and goes against your philosophy of so-called inward growth. What happens next?
Well, again, this was one of the many agreements that we have had in the past that we would not make as we move forward. We do want to make sure that we revitalize our downtown and our older neighborhoods, not to encourage a sprawl or to encourage or to perhaps subsidize new development. So as we move forward, we're not going to do that. We're certainly going to pursue a very different, and not have been, a different approach. This is an older agreement. The company was, Snyder Company, was in compliance and more than technical compliance beyond the 30% affordable housing. So we would have had an awkward position for many ways, legal perhaps issues, as well as we don't want to send the signal to other possible developers that the City of Bloomington breaks its word.
Mayor Terry Renner is in the studio to take your questions. You can call 309-438-8910. There are signs violence is on the upswing in Bloomington. Police Chief Brendan Hefner warned West Bloomington residents over the weekend about an increasing number of home invasions there, numerous burglaries with forced entries, as well as an uptick in shots fired incidents that he attributes to gang-related activity. And then last night, a woman was released after hospital treatment following an apparent attempted robbery near Illinois Wesleyan University. Does all of this collectively merit some sort of city action above and beyond what the police can do?
Well, I think in the short run, the police are on top of this. We do believe that, and certainly have every reason to believe, that these are isolated incidents. By isolated, they are not part of a broader trend. There are perhaps two individuals in particular that seem to be responsible for a couple of the recent events in Illinois Wesleyan. And so we will do as much as possible to apprehend them. I would like us, though, as we move forward, to put more emphasis upon so-called proactive community policing strategies. And I think those have been very effective in Bloomington in the past and in many other communities. And again, let's be clear. We always want to be vigilant, but at the same time, keep into perspective that Bloomington does have a comparatively low crime rate. And it's not always the lowest. Sometimes it's the lowest. Sometimes there's an uptick slightly, but we're at the bottom of all cities, metro cities in Illinois.
All right, now on to the budget, Mayor. You've been quoted as saying the Budget Task Force recommendations exceed your expectations because it's balanced and thorough with service cuts and user fee increases and tax increases. You're a professor. What grade, what final grade does this panel receive for its work?
Well, I would give them an A on this. And essentially, we, just to be clear, we've got a whole list of possible user fees and charges and then cuts and service reductions. We're not going to can't pursue all of them. Some of them actually are mutually exclusive, but they put lots of ideas out on the table. They did put a penny sales tax on the table that would have gone to city services. Actually, what the council approved was really 0.75 cents that go to the City of Bloomington and 0.25 cents that we will be sending to the county for mental health. So we still are $2 million, shy of a balanced budget this year, over $3 million next year. So we are now shifting to the either reorganization, cost saving side, reductions, cuts, and possible user fees. If you use our services or if you profit from some city service, then we are going to likely ask you to pay more. For example, liquor license fees have not been raised since 1983, and we do not charge for video poker machines. And the reason I target those two, as a liquor commissioner, I can tell you we spend lots of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars implementing liquor in enforcement. And the people who make a profit from that, rather than the taxpayers, I believe, should bear the increased costs of those services.
Well, let's focus in a little bit on these cuts that do, that have to be made, really, somewhere. Are there enough direct cuts to satisfy the budget hawks on the council or out there in the community?
Well, I wish that we had more obvious targets, but we have to keep in mind we had approximately 750 full-time equivalent employees 5 years ago, 6 years ago. We now have 650. So we have a workforce that's already much leaner than it was by about 100 full-time equivalents.
But would you say that's to the bone yet?
It's pretty close to the bone. And in many cases, really, we need to have a few more firefighters to reduce our response times. I think we probably need some more code enforcement officers. Otherwise, we're going to have more dilapidated properties where people get away with things. So we have to prioritize. There may be some areas where we still can cut, but there is no pot of gold out there. And the same thing, there are certain things we can't do. If we didn't make capital improvements on the Coliseum, we would be in breach of contract, and there'd be fewer gigs that could go to the Coliseum, so it could cost us more money. So there are lots of things that are easy to hype on that a few, very noisy people try to hype on. But the big picture is we're getting our act together. We have had about 20 to 30 years, frankly, of problems and messes that we're now trying to clean up, and we are steering this city into a different direction, one that's smart growth, downtown revitalization. We are making sure that we have a service culture. There's no good old boy, good old gal network. You're not automatically getting an appointment to a department head just because you or your brother-in-law had worked for the city for 30 years. We're getting our act together. We're getting being responsive. So we're certainly on the move and pursuing economic growth in a smart way.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kern. Did the Budget Task Force go far enough in spelling out cuts? What would you recommend? Call Sound Ideas right now at 309-438-8910. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner is here to take your questions. There are some recommendations to seek reimbursement. For instance, the cost of providing aircraft rescue and firefighting at the Central Illinois Regional Airport. But the recommendation isn't to eliminate this service. If the Central Illinois Regional Airport says, no, we're not going to reimburse you, then does the city stop paying for it? How does that work?
Well, that's some of what we're going to talk to with our intergovernmental partners. Again, everything that's put on the table by the Budget Task Force needs to be more thoroughly vetted by myself, the city manager, and the council, and look at the advantages and disadvantages of that. So there are some things that are out there that I think upon further investigation and analysis, we will not likely pursue. Again, we don't need all of them. There are some things that are, again, fairly obvious targets: liquor license fees, video poker, other things. We're doing an analysis of all of the fees that we charge people and businesses. Are they appropriate for the cost? Are we recouping our costs? So I think those are the areas that are more fruitful in the long term. We do have a vested interest in having a strong airport and making sure that their fees that they charge to carriers and passengers are very low. That's what keeps us attractive. So I would be very, very cautious about pursuing that either with the airport or with school districts.
I want to stay on the cuts for just a moment. I know you're talking about the increases in some of the fees and the video poker, but the task force recommends reviewing outsourcing golf course operations.
Absolutely.
Or reviewing selling a golf course.
And that's what we're going to be doing. In fact, we're already in that process. Now, let's keep in mind, those are recommendations now that have been put on the table. The council will go back and decide how many of these they want to pursue and what timetable, but there's definitely an interest in seeing we've got three golf courses. Do we need to be in the golf course business at all? Or is there a special role for Highland just because of its massive green space and its historic value? And what's the process of making all this happen? Remember, our fiscal year runs from May 1st to April 30th. So we have made an incredible amount of progress in just a few months. We've gone farther than we had in the first 2 years as I was mayor, and by April 30th, and we're already here and we're not even at September 30th. So we've made some really great progress, and I think we're going to have great discussions, especially with the new dynamic on the council.
Where do you think budget cuts should be made? Or what do you think about the whole budget making process in the city of Bloomington? You can call and talk with Mayor Terry Renner right now at 309-438-8910. Alderman Scott Black had some strong words about the will of the council to make real or deep cuts after Ward 2 Alderman and Budget Task Force co-chair David Sage essentially polled aldermen about whether they were willing to make some cuts. Here's part of an exchange between you and Alderman Scott Black at that meeting a little over a week ago.
We are just all over the place, left and right. And there's no coalition here that I think would really genuinely look at the major cuts that would have to come from our structural deficit. And we're looking at gutting the BCPA.
Well, and I think David is asking, and I think maybe there's a different question. I think Alderman Sage is asking if we're all ready to begin to make some cuts.
Yeah, and I'm saying
maybe
that we're not.
Like the ones that are on the budget task force.
I am saying that we are not. I don't think that this group here has ever, in my experience, demonstrated the
willingness. But we have a new council now, Scott.
I still don't think that's the case. I mean, think about how many times that we get a few emails on a topic that's, that, you know, parks or zoo or whatever, and we stop what we're doing, we delay it. That's kind of our nature. Look at solid waste. We all agree that there's something that needs to be done. We haven't made the tough decisions, you know, and to delay this, there are so many pressing things that we have going on right now. And I can sit here and say, yeah, I'm going to support cuts. Yeah, I support cuts. But then when I get it in front of me, I still have my out to be like, well, this is just too much for my liking.
Alderman Scott Black from the September 21st meeting, is he right? Where is the evidence of past cuts?
Well, actually, there are two different things that I think are being asked. I believe Alderman Sage was asking us individually if people would commit to making cuts. Scott was talking about the city council's record. And the city council's record is pretty much as Scott has suggested in the past. I think where we now, I think we've got a new energy and a new dynamic, and we have made some progress really over the past 2.5 years. It's not just because when I became mayor, but also we had some new council members, and then I actually managed to appoint two people who got elected in their own right, and then with Amelia Burgess's election, we really have a new group of people and a new energy on this council. So I think the council will do the right thing. But in the past, yes, I mean, we the council's record over the last 10 years or so has been one of hesitancy and fiddling and pushing things off, kicking the can down, debating and postponing. He's absolutely right on that. But we're going to get it done as we move forward. We've already gotten much done.
Last week during Sound Ideas, Budget Task Force member and retired McLean County Administrator John Zunick talked with Mike McCurdy. He's someone you worked with. I'm talking about Zunick here as a former county board member. He says a budget task force was never needed in his 20 years. And here's what he had to say about the county's budget making process.
Our fiscal year is a calendar fiscal year. So each May, the Finance Committee of the county board and then the full county board would adopt a budget policy resolution. And in that resolution, the board would be very specific in terms of setting out specific principles, policies for the staff to follow in preparing the budget. And that covered a wide range of issues, from the property tax levy to full-time employees to new federal or state grants coming in to our compensation schedule to capital improvements. Once that resolution was adopted, that was the template for preparing the budget. So my charge as the county administrator was to take that template and, in meeting with the elected officials and the department heads, to craft a budget which met the policy guidelines set forth in that board resolution.
So does the city need a process much like the county's, which seems to work pretty well?
Yeah, well, actually, we did have committees that were established by Mayor Stockton, and there was a finance committee that actually was on. The problem of those committees is there was such a lack of trust, they weren't working. So we disbanded them several months into my administration. As we move forward, though, I think with the council currently, I think it's possible for us to establish a committee system. I have suggested that. We will see how some informal work groups work before we discuss that more thoroughly. We're going to talk about it in our retreat in November and then in the new calendar year. I was proposing that we have public safety, public works, and public finance. If we had a finance committee of three, that we could have that exact same process. The other thing is that as mayor, the mayor of Bloomington actually structurally has lots of authority over the budget. Not only is there an overall veto, which is extremely unusual, only about 28% of American cities give their mayor a veto, but a line item veto that only about 2% of American cities have. So I conceivably could use that authority to get tighter control over the budget preparation process. But I didn't, in my first 2 years, that was less an issue going in than getting the city council to come forward and realize that we really do have to pay our bills and we've got to make some very tough choices. That was why I had to actually use the veto threat twice in 2014 in order to get a realistic budget. So at this point, we, I think, are exploring several different possible structures for us to really move forward.
It's 438-8910 to talk to Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. I'm Willis Kern. This is Sound Ideas. We have Nick on the line. Nick has a question about golf courses. Nick, what's your question?
Well, basically, if we're talking about reducing costs for the city to provide a service to the residents by subcontracting out, you might as well say, the operation of golf courses, then why can't this same idea be extended with other services that the city provides its residents?
Okay, Nick, did you have any suggestion of any particular area for the city to think about?
Well, every service that the city provides to its residents could be done by outside labor forces, could they not?
All right, well, let's see what the mayor has to say about that. What about contracting with outside labor?
There have definitely been discussions of that in the budget task force has thrown out several ideas for that. And throughout the country, when I used to be at the International City Management Association back in the late 80s, contracting out was really, really, you know, hot to try to save money. When I talk, you know, to go to the U.S. Conference of Mayors, mayors throughout the country are talking about some of those issues. It depends on the service. For example, right now, you send your water bill out of state. We don't actually even process water bills unless you come to the city hall and pay your water bill. So there's some things that are contracted out. The thing that you have to be careful of is, let's say we contracted out solid waste. That was one of the proposals, or sometimes people have thrown out. You lose a lot of control over that. Right now, if somebody, let's say we forget to pick up trash on some cul-de-sac, they can call their alderman, they call me, and we get them out there usually within an hour or two. And we go out there and when we pick up the trash, there's greater control over the quality of that than if we had a company, let's say out of Chicago or Springfield or Peoria, and we'd say, hey, you know, we're going to remember in 2 years when your contract is up if you don't go out and do that. You definitely lose control. And you may not save what you think you save. At least of the mayors and managers I've spoken with over the years, there are at least as many that deeply regret contracting out, for example, trash collection, as those that are happy with the cost savings.
And we know that Bloomington is well known for having the Cadillac service when it comes to that sort of thing, and citizens apparently willing to pay for that. Nick, thanks for your call. We're going to take another call from Bloomington. This is Adam. Adam's on the line. He has a question or comment about priorities on the cuts. Adam, what's your question?
Yeah, my question is, we're talking about what needs to be cut, but in previous months and weeks we've all discussed what the city wants. We've had flamingos, we've had talks of the IBC being torn down and changed into a hotel, things like this. Why are these conversations still being had when there's a deficit at hand? We've got serious things we need to look at. These roads are terrible.
All right, I don't think anyone's talking about, Adam, I don't think anyone's talking about tearing down the Coliseum. I think there are buildings near there that possibly
I think
could.
I think it's probably what Adam's referring to. And Adam, actually, it's at the time where you have budget issues. So you don't have to raise taxes and you don't have to make massive cuts. The best way is to grow your local economy. That's absolutely what most any mayor that I've ever spoken to throughout the country or city managers realize, and that's what we have to do. So the thriving downtowns are absolutely critical. In fact, this a little over a week ago, I was at the National or the Illinois Municipal League, and there was a gentleman there who was head of a company out of Texas, and he said, I invest millions and my clients invest millions of dollars. The first thing we do is we look at downtowns. If the downtown is not thriving or if it's stagnant, we know that that's an indication of two things. One, that's where the economy's going, and two, the local leadership, elected leaders don't get economic development. If the downtown is thriving, and then they know that that's part of the direction of the community and that the local leadership gets economic development. And they said, even if this guy doesn't want to invest in downtown, they don't even invest on the periphery or other areas if the downtown isn't thriving. That is what pretty much real estate agents or developers, economists throughout the United States realize. Downtowns are where the action is at this point.
So what do you think, Adam?
In our case, it's not necessarily like that. I mean, as you see, out east is expanding quite a bit. A lot of people on the east side don't necessarily come downtown.
And they don't. And that's one of the other reasons why making your downtown a destination is critical. And actually, in terms of the kinds of investments we were talking about, we were not talking about spending any money out of the general fund. We were going to try to make sure, as a Reagan-era reform, what are called TIFs, and that is let the merits of the project itself pay for whatever incentive packages might be there. For example, if we had a conference center, a hotel, whatever, restaurant, we're getting no revenues out of that now. So if we rebated revenues that were generated because of the multi-multi-million-dollar private investment, that would not be something that affects the general fund. And those are the kinds of tools of economic growth that are essential as we grow our economy in the 21st century.
All right, Adam, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Mayor, we're running out of time. I want to ask you about the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. One of the recommendations is to run the BCP as an enterprise fund, meaning it would have to pay for itself. Is there a public performing arts center in the U.S. that's run as an enterprise zone that you know, or enterprise fund?
I'm sure there are. I don't necessarily know that what the circumstances of those might be. Usually that's not the case. And so what you do is make the decision that if you want to go down that path and continue to subsidize a BCPA, you make the decision that was made by Mayor Markowitz and the City Council at that time, that this is an economic benefit to the community, it's an economic benefit to downtown, and it is an amenity that we want to spend some money on. If you decide you do not want to do that, that's a policy decision, and obviously that would have pretty dramatic effects on the BCPA. Now let's, in our $186 million a year budget, roughly the net subsidy to the BCPA is $1 million. So it is a little over a half of a percent of what we spend. So it's clearly not up there with anything like public safety or other, core functions as a city government.
And then there's a proposed operational audit on the BCPA. Who knows what's going to come out of that? Maybe they'll find that you're not spending enough money on talent. So all of a sudden, this audit could lead to more costs, I suppose. That's one.
Well, regardless of what the audit said, the council has to make that policy decision. It may be that there are some economies of scale, for example, with having uniform booking between the Coliseum and the BCPA. The contract on Central Illinois Arena Management, SIAM, that manages the Coliseum, is coming up, and that is absolutely one of the things that we're going to be looking at moving forward.
Mary Renner, thanks again for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Willis.
Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner joins us on Sound Ideas following each City of Bloomington regular council meeting. This is Sound Ideas.